Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Hoo-ee, that is a Game of the Year candidate. It was nearly snatched from their grasp. 8-4 in 12 innings. If you didn't watch this one, if you're just catching the podcast, whew. Wow, what a night of baseball. This felt like a playoff game for the first 11 innings. Then in the 12th inning, one team finally said, enough, and went after it. The Brewers' offense woke up. Better late than never, but what a game to start the second half with a victory for the Brew Crew in front of the largest crowd at Target Field history in a regular season play, 41,000 strong. And I'll tell you what, just listening here and even just some clips I saw inside the ballpark, there were so many Brewer fans there. Is this what it kind of feels like when Cub fans come infiltrate American Family Field? Is Brewers fans getting to Target Field? Maybe a lot of Northwest Wisconsin making the drive over. Maybe plenty of Brewers fans in Minnesota as well. Quick little two-game set of the border battle. You could hear Let's Go Brewers chants loud and clear all night long. So just quick shout-out to all the Brewers fans that made the trip up there to the Twin Cities. 8-4 again the final today in 12 innings. Freddy Peralta is a massive story. I'll get to him a little bit later. The bullpen is a talking point as well. And we'll talk a little bit about the underclassmen and how great they've been playing and what this core looks like moving forward. And I'm flying solo tonight, so I want to hear from you. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you're staying up here with us tonight, going until about 11:30 here on the home of the Brewers. Now, let's talk about the offense, though, and the difference that we saw from extra innings to the first nine innings, okay? I want to remind you that Yoan Duran is one of the best closers in baseball, and knowing that he was lurking in the 10th inning, you were going to have a hard time with that no matter what. The Brewers had gone down 1-2-3 in the 10th inning. I mean, that's you're facing an elite closer who throws 103 miles an hour, throws a splitter 96. Like, it's a freak stuff. But you move on, you survive. They survive the bottom of the 10th. Trevor McGill was awesome. The 11th inning, again, with the placed runner on second base. Bad AB by Churio to lead off the inning, swinging and popping out on the first pitch of the inning. 20-year-old mistake right there. Not going to overreact. Terang picks him up after a wild pitch, almost the exact same scenario that we saw that tied this game back in the eighth inning. Peguero had a man on second and one out. Ground ball to second base with a man on third and the infield in. Contact play is on. Terang puts the ball in play. Ortiz comes in to score. The throw wasn't terrible, just a little bit away from where you would be tagging. Ortiz scores the go-ahead run at the time. That made it 2-1. Hey, a contact play worked there for those who complain about it all the time. Then a big league at-bat by William Contreras with an 0-2 count lines a single off the wall in right center field. That put runners on the corners. And then the big moment, the Yelly squeeze when they brought in left on left with Okert coming into the game. We've talked about it over and over and over again, and this has been something that's been on my mind since spring training. When Pat Murphy was asked by Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, hey, who's the best bunter on the team? Just some of the fun off-the-wall questions we asked during spring training, because for a month and a half, there's only so much you can ask about day-to-day minutia. So the question was, who's the best bunter on the team? And after a little bit of thought, Murph said, you know what? Yelly's the best bunter, and here's why. He's going to put down a perfect bunt in a big situation, and then he's going to put it away for a while. And it's always going to be perfect. It's always going to be huge. And that's exactly, we've seen him do it a couple of times this season. He's been enabled to do so. And I thought that squeeze in a tough left-on-left situation, get another run home. It's always so important to get multiple runs home in extra innings, not just the placed runner. And why was that so important? Because Carlos Santana, down to his last strike, we've seen this film before, hits a game-tying two-run homer in the bottom of the 11th inning. But the Brewers didn't freak out. I think this was the big turning point, the moment of the game, is the fact that in the 12th inning, Blake Perkins, who came into the game as a defensive replacement, getting his first at-bat of the game, falls behind 1-2 against Okert, batting right-handed, man on second. Do everything in your power to try to get this ball the other way if you can. And he pulls a grounder to short. And you may be thinking, all right, didn't move the runner again. That was the story early in the game, not being able to move a runner off second base, aside from the RBI single from Churio in the third. But they left so many opportunities stranded on second base. They did so in the seventh. They did so in the eighth. They had the chance technically in the 10th against Duran, but then there on the 12th, you're thinking, all right, come on. Man on second. You've got a pulled ground ball. Nothing's going to happen out of this. And Perkins, tip your cap, man. This is not seen in the box score. This is not seen unless you're watching the game. Routine ground ball. I mean, as routine as it gets. Castro hesitated for a second for some reason. Frelick wasn't doing anything weird at second. And Perkins burns and beats it out. Infield single. 30.9 feet per second. Anything over 30 is considered freakish and elite. 30.9 feet per second, a sub 4 second time from home to first. From the right-handed batter's box. If you're under four, you're going to get a hit quite often. Anything under four is also elite. I thought that set the tone for the rest of the inning. Because now, instead of one out and a man on second, you've got first and second and nobody out. Completely different view of what the inning is going to hold. And then the mistake by Okert on a Bowers bunt. Bowers bunting, again, a tough left-on-left situation. Tries to bunt. Pops it up the third baseline. But he dropped it into no man's land, so it's down, but it's clearly spinning foul. Has English on it. Hit the collar of the grass. No doubt in my mind, or the Twins' mind, or the Brewers' mind, that ball is going foul. In fact, they're so sure of that, an out is going to be recorded in some fashion, whether it was caught on the pop-up or it was going foul, that Bowers didn't even leave the box. Okert inexplicably touches the baseball, it rolls into foul territory, bobbles it, and before he even realized that Bowers wasn't running, Bowers has time to take off and make it to first base. That loads the bases, and they take the opportunity with some timely offense. Ortiz, sacrifice fly. Churio, RBI single to right center. Terang, two-run single to right center. Contreras, RBI single up the middle. You blink, it's a five-run top of the 12th inning, the type of offense we've been seeing from the Brewers earlier in the season. That was the first half offense that we know the Brewers are capable of. So they couldn't get it done in the first few frames. And give credit to Pablo Lopez. He's a fantastic pitcher. He got seven strikeouts here tonight. I thought the Brewers left him, gave him some chances. They gave him some outs, I should say. I mean, especially in the seventh inning. Third time through, Adames leadoff single, sacrifice bunt by Frelick. Hoskins and or Mitchell have to make contact in that situation. They did not. Hanging on to a 1-0 lead the whole game. You're trying to move mountains with the bullpen. We'll talk about the bullpen a little bit later. They end up giving up a run in the eighth inning, but the Brewers ultimately prevail by an 8-4 final in 12. Whew, chaos. What a game for the crew. Get a couple of texts, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. We'll talk about Freddie next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Fun one in Minnesota. Brewers are 1-0 in the second half. They win today 8-4 in 12 chaotic innings. I'm Dom Catronio, flying solo tonight. We're going for another 45 minutes or so here on your home of the Brewers. Lost in the shuffle of all the late offense and how fun it was. Freddy Peralta was fantastic. Let's talk about him in a second. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. One reminder that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Couple of texts here as well. This one from Doug and Baraboo. What an atmosphere. This was like a playoff game, a Brewers and Twins World Series, the Molitor Series, if you will. It would be amazing, and Churio's catch at the end was fitting. David and Superior, heck of a game tonight. Brewers at peak resiliency, living undaunted. Brewers fans really showed out at Target Field as well. So loud. Finally, this one from Nick. Feels great to be back with a win after the All-Star break. The game felt like two different games once it got to extras. Yeah, this was a bona fide pitcher's duel in the first seven innings, thanks in large part to Freddie Peralta. We got to give Freddie some flowers here, because I would venture to guess Freddie was his usual self today. I don't think he had like his B or C game. I thought he had his stuff. This is who Freddie is. The command wasn't perfect. but he's able to work around it, not give up a ton of loud contact. A couple of walks was great. I thought Freddie today, the fact that he was able to hunker down, and I thought the two big moments in this game from Freddie go like this. The Brewers take the lead in the top of the third inning. Freddie has labored through the first two innings with 40 pitches. He's facing 8-9-1 in the order, looking for the shutdown bottom of the third inning. Gives up a single to Edward Julian with one out in the bottom of the third inning. He strikes out Willie Castro after falling behind him 2-0. So you got two outs, man on first base. You got to get Trevor Larnach, given you got Byron Buxton on deck. He gets ahead of Larnach 0-2, then falls down to 3-2, and ultimately walks him. And you're sitting here thinking, oh dear, oh no, got to get the shutdown in. Got to get it, got to get it. Got to avoid the balloon inning that Freddie Peralta cannot avoid as of late. And furthermore, he falls behind Buxton 3-0. And Buxton gives him a gift. He flies out, swinging at the 3-0 pitch to center field. He probably just missed it, but he missed it. That's all that matters. It's not a hit. No runs scored in the third inning. And you could see a different guy from there forward. Even the fourth inning, he had to labor a little bit, but it really wasn't that bad of a frame. There was a play that probably Terang would tell you he should have made on an infield hit that got by him for Max Kepler. Otherwise, a pretty tame frame for him. Then 10 pitches in both the fifth and sixth innings. That's the Freddie Peralta, the second half Freddie Peralta, that Brewers fans know he's capable of. Attacking, being efficient, getting ahead 0-2. In those last two innings, he got ahead of hitters 0-2 or 1-2, three of the six hitters he faced. He dispatched them on two pitches or less on all three of those batters. What I mean by that is how many times do we see Freddie Peralta get ahead 0-2, kind of mess around outside of the zone, not getting called strikes, not getting chased, whatever, get to 3-2 like we saw with Trevor Larnach, the at-bat I pointed out before the Byron Buxton gift in the flyout, and then ultimately the inning balloons on him. The fact that I saw in the fifth and the sixth inning, not only was he getting ahead 0-2, which is always a good thing, he was able to put hitters away. He struck out Matt Wallner. He struck out Willie Castro on the third at-bat against him. He held Willie Castro to 0-for-3 against him. That's super, super important against the Twins' leadoff man. Then he faces Buxton for a third time, and he gets him to strike out in the sixth inning, and then finally gets Brooks Lee, a rookie, to ground out to end his day. 102 pitches, 62 strikes, 8 Ks, 2 walks, also 18 whiffs. The stuff is good enough to get swings and misses. The stuff is good enough to compete in the zone. It's whenever he's trying to make a perfect pitch, trying to make something nastier than he thinks it is when he gets into trouble. One of the stats that we use to measure a pitcher's command that is beyond the traditional stats is called CSW rate, or called strike whiff rate, meaning of your pitches, how many of them are called strikes or swings and misses? No contact, meaning the best pitch in baseball. You're getting a strike, or the batter is swinging and missing and giving you a strike, or they're being retired, okay? He got 18 swings and misses today. That's a 35% strikeout rate, backtrack, 35% whiff rate. League average is 27%, so well above league average in that for a single game. But furthermore, he gets 18 swings and misses. He only had 10 called strikes today, so he's in and around the zone. 15 foul balls on four-seam fastballs today, so they're not able to barrel him up like you'd think with a relatively straight fastball. When he's able to attack the zone, when he's able to trust his stuff, I thought the changeup was huge today for Freddie, too. Freddie threw 22 changeups today. He got 5 whiffs on them, 17 strikes of those 22 changeups. 4 of those changeups were called strikes, too. I thought that was huge from Freddie. I just really liked his pitch mix. They realized the slider's in a little bit of a funk right now. It wasn't great against the Nationals before the break. It wasn't great today. And him and William just said, you know what, let's scrap it. Go to the changeup. And it really worked out today for Freddie Peralta. Got to give him his flowers. I thought he was fantastic today. Even despite having 82 pitches when he was starting the fifth inning, he gave you a quality start. 6 shutout innings, second half Freddie maybe has arrived. 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the program, 855-616-1620. Call, text, hang out with us. Let's talk about the bullpen. There's no reason to overreact about the bullpen. Brewers win 8-4 in 12 innings today on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, three-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can...
A little bit later on as well. Brewers... with their bullpen today, a lot of folks were overreacting on Twitter, which they usually do, which is fine. I get it. That's why y'all give me a job to talk about things. First and foremost, this team misses Devin Williams badly right now. Badly. The reason why you miss Devin Williams, because you can finally settle the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. Hudson can have the 7th. McGill can have the 8th. Devin can have the 9th. And then you can plug and play from there. The reason I say that is because the Brewers are unsettled in the 8th inning. They know who's the first guy they want out of the bullpen, and that's Brian Hudson, because he's been one of their best. They know who they want last out of the bullpen in Trevor McGill, because he's the closer. But finding a way to find that 8th inning consistently, because Pyomps has not had his usual year. Piguero's been hot and cold. You look at Milner hasn't been himself. There are a few guys that you're like, ah, oh, man, who do you give it to in the 8th inning? And that's why the Brewers find themselves in this conundrum where it's like, well, Brian Hudson's the best shot, but you're pitching him till his arm falls off, and it's like, he's not going to be as effective in the second half, and you worry about his health long-term, and how is he going to be able to bounce back? I mean, he's obviously not going to pitch tomorrow. He's probably not even going to pitch on Monday against the Cubs. So now you're down without him for a couple of days just because he's learning as a rookie what it takes for his body to bounce back. And this is another reminder, too. I've said this over and over and over again. You only notice the bullpen when the offense isn't able to add on. This was a 1-0 game. It is so hard to preserve 1-0 games, especially against a team. Let's also not act like the Twins are a meh team. The Twins are a playoff team. They're a good club. Let's not act like, oh my gosh, they give up a run to the Twins. No, not that at all. They're a great team. So when you're so used to absolute titans in the back end of your bullpen, I said this when Josh Hader left too, it is not normal to say, oh, it's the 7th inning, this game's over. That is not normal. It's not normal even to say that in the 9th inning. But the Brewers fans have been able to say that for years. Years back to Hoffman and K-Rod and Axford. They have had such a reputation at the back end of their bullpen. And now since Hader and now since Devin, but now all of a sudden with Devin's absence, you start to realize what every other team goes through. It's like, oh, there is a little bit of uneasiness. How do you get it to this guy? How do you get it to McGill? It's really hard to maintain three high leverage relievers for an entire season. The Brewers for certain have two right now in Hudson and McGill. When Williams returns, he will be in that fold. Perhaps when Koenig returns, he will be in that fold. If Zastrzyzny continues to pitch well, he's going to get opportunities just like Koenig got opportunities. I am not freaking out about the bullpen because here's why. When you are consistently asking the bullpen to move mountains, when you're only up 1-0 against a quality playoff opponent, it's going to catch up at some point. The Brewers bullpen gave up 2 earned runs in the span of 5 innings. 2. The run in the 8th, which you can even argue is like, better throw from Terang. He's probably out at the plate. And then the home run by Santana in the 11th, down to their last strike to Junis. It's really darn good. 2 earned runs in 5 innings? That's not bad. That's really hard to do. And always pitching with pressure, where, you know, you're pitching on the road, so it could be over in the blink of an eye, especially given, you know, you had the winning run on second base with 2 outs in the 9th inning, and Pyomps locked it in. He was able to strike out Austin Martin. In the 10th inning, McGill, they intentionally walked Byron Buxton, no problem. All 3 batters he faced, retired. Junis was rolling through the 11th until the home run, and then he had a calm, cool, and collected 12th inning, a the place runner came in to score, but that's no big deal. Junis was great too. And I thought Hudson was great. Didn't allow a run in the seventh inning, then comes back out for the eighth. The assignment was to get through Castro, and he's the first hitter all year to get a hit on Brian Hudson's sweeper. Right-handed hitter, I should say. Righties were 0-34 against Brian Hudson's sweeper coming into tonight. And Willie Castro is the first one to get a base hit. And it's another example. I tweeted this to someone earlier in the evening. The Brewers' defense wasn't perfect in that eighth inning either. Is that the bullpen's fault? No. Churio bobbled the ball that could have held Castro to a single. Instead, he's able to hustle it into a double because he was thinking two out of the box. And Churio bobbles it with the pressure. So now you got a man on second with one out. Then you have the wild pitch with Castillo at the plate. I'm sure it's a ball that Contreras feels he should have at least kept in front of him. I'm saying he was going to pick it cleanly. I'm not saying he has to drop to a knee either, but I think you ask Contreras, he has to think, I've got to keep that ball in front of me, keep the man on second base. Then you're facing Castillo, ground ball to second, you got the exact situation you wanted. Castro runs well. Terang slightly misses with the throw. Boom, big leaguers take advantage of mistakes. Why is that on the bullpen? Elvis Peguero comes in. Yes, he threw a wild pitch, but I think William would tell you should have stopped it. Ground ball, strikeout, ground ball. How's that his fault? You know, it's just you have to look at it a little bit differently. When every outing is life or death with the bullpen, it feels like they're failing, but they're not. I think Peguero has quietly pitched very, very well as of late for the Brewers. So that's just my little bullpen rant. I think they're fine. Reinforcements are on the way with Koenig, with Hall, with Junis being available in the bullpen, with Williams coming back. I think there's a lot to like about what's on the way for the Brewers. Couple of texts here. One thing great besides the win, the contract that Churio signed is a win for both sides. In a couple of years, he'll be making over $20 million a year. Hey, it's still very early in this, but he's going to be one of the underclassmen we talk about coming up next. Brewers win 8-4-12 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, what a wacky one. Brewers win 8-4. Highlights coming up a little bit later. Pat Murphy coming up next. This one from Mike in Colorado over text line 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Mike says, biggest never say die win of the season. I mean, the Brewers never trailed in this game. Keep that in mind. Brewers win 8-4-12. I want to talk a little bit about the underclassmen, as I'm calling them. We talked about it a little bit before the All-Star break of just the freshmen and the sophomores that continue to deliver, right? So Terang's a sophomore. Freelich's like a redshirt freshman, sophomore borderline, somewhere in there. Mitchell, he's a redshirt freshman, to say the least. Joey Ortiz is a redshirt freshman. Churio's a true freshman, right? If you're using these isms about the team, about, you know, guys that are suddenly finding themselves in big roles, Hudson is a freshman. Those sort of guys. And their contributions to the game and to the team right now. Churio, I talked about it a little bit in pregame today. Churio's first half OPS is about 640, which is obviously below league average. But he's 20 years old. He's the youngest player in the big leagues. And his OPS, I was talking about this, was actually better than Robin Yount's rookie year first half OPS. Now, I'm not saying he's going to become Robin Yount. I'm not saying that in the slightest. Robin was 18 in 1974. In fact, Robin didn't even get over 700. He only got over 700 once until 1982 when he won MVP. So it takes a little bit of time sometimes, but you can see building blocks. Three hits tonight for Jackson Churio, including a pair of RBIs. You saw another sophomore, Bryce Terang, the quantum leap. He only had one hit, but it was a good one in extras. He got it done when they needed the most, got three runs batted in today. I also really liked what we saw from Joey Ortiz. I know he doesn't have a hit today, but he understood the situation with the bases loaded there in the 12th inning. Just get the line moving, get a run home, elevate a baseball, sacrifice fly to center. He also had great base running in the 11th inning. He actually came in to score on the squeeze from Christian Yelich, or I beg your pardon, he came in to score on the Bryce Terang ground out with the contact play on. Don't lose sight of that. He hit the ball hard a couple of times today. Joey Ortiz had a good night. But when you look at it, the Brewers, this is the lineup that they envisioned coming out of spring training. With Terang in there, Yelly in there. I mean, everybody was in there today. Churio, Mitchell, Frelick, Yelly. Now, maybe the Brewers thought that it was going to be Sal Frelick at third and Yelly playing left. Maybe Churio in right and Mitchell in center. But Yelly kind of putting the team on his back despite going 0 for 5 today with the sacrifice squeeze. Yelly doing what's best for the team. I'll DH. That's fine. I'll DH. I think that is a massive leadership move by Christian Yelich, too. Because now, finally, we're seeing it for the last week or so. We're finally seeing the lineup that the Brewers thought they were going to have. And that's what I'm really, really excited about. Led by underclassmen, if you will. Churio having three hits. Mitchell having a hit, a run score, and a double. Then you had a guy like Terang, like we said, with two runs scored. So let it grow. Let it build. Let them get more and more experience. And let's see what happens come later in the year. Pat Murphy coming up next. Brewers get the victory, 8-4-12 on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 12-4. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now, for a limited time, they're offering $10 off an AC tune-up or $10 off an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. At Sider, your at-home comfort is top priority. Visit Sider.com today, Sider.com. Brewers win. Happy manager, 1-0 in the second half. Here's Pat Murphy.
Great. It was a great act in my mind of coming back. Hats off to the Twins, how they played, how well they pitched, how well they defended, and then for us to give up that two-out, two-strike homer to Santana, and then keep Junis in, and Junis to do the job the next inning is just, yeah, it shows the relentlessness of the club, you know. It's a relentless win.
Yeah. So many heroes in the last couple of innings. I mean, can you even think back? I mean, some of the names, Joey, Jackson, you know, Yelly.
Jackson had a great day. Yelly's great bun. He's not feeling great, obviously, his back. But William Contreras, you know, his couple big hits at the end. Terang's big hit. The catch by Churio, the hits by Churio, the pitching performance by Freddie, you know, the pitching performance, Hudson Peguero threw great. So he deserves, I mean, he got the ground ball, got the punch out. It was outstanding. So really pleased from that standpoint.
Did it feel like a matter of time to you before you guys would start cashing in on some of those opportunities? I think it was 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position, and
yeah,
then 5-for-5.
That ebbs and flows always. You know what I mean? That just ebbs and flows. We hit some balls hard early that got caught. Yelly hit a liner to left, and Terang hit one. Mitchell hit a soft liner to short. Terang blasted a ball in the deepest part of the park. You know, so we were Frelick lined out to first, you know, so some of that would have been different if some of those balls fell, but that's just baseball. You can't measure runners in scoring position all the time. It's just it evens out over time. You know, we were on a streak where it was ridiculous for a while, and then you cool off, and it's part of winning and losing. You know, when you hit with runners in scoring position, you win. When you don't, but it's not something you can always control. You know, the defense is really good. The Twins' pitching was unbelievable. Lopez was terrific. And so were some of the relievers. Wow.
What did you see from Freddie today? This is best he's looked at him the last few starts.
Yeah, Freddie was great. Freddie was free. Pitched with freedom. He really did. Pitched with freedom.
It looked like he was really under control.
Really was.
Yeah, like really, really was. Calm for him.
Yeah, I got to meet with him tomorrow. I want to tell him that. So,
it's
Go ahead.
While you're doing that, the at-bats on the 11th and the 12th, and when you're getting into your 5th, your 6th at-bat, right, it's been a long day, game, whatever. For them, you always talk about them being woodpeckers. Was that...
Yeah. It's relentless. You know, it's like that annoying, pesty, long at-bat, you know, chip away, swing at the pitch you want to swing at, you know what I mean, not lose control of the at-bat. Yeah, they did a lot of that.
That was great stuff from Pat Murphy, the Woodpeckers, and the note there, 5 for 5 there, their last few at-bats with runners in scoring position. Fun stuff. And Freddie Peralta being calm. I saw a few folks a little worried about the velo being down today, the average velo anyway. He still pops some 96s and 97s. That's what we see from Freddie, the ramp of velo. It did look like he was a little more under control, trying to find it, trying to find his slot. And there's always kind of like having to build back up a little bit of soreness, build up a little bit more of, all right, I haven't pitched. I've got an extra couple of days of rest here since my last start. See what which guy arrives today. And I thought Freddie pitched very well. With that being said, let's relive it. Highlights coming up next. Brewers win over the Twins on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
All right, starting off the second half with an opening day matchup. Freddie Peralta and Pablo Lopez, both of them were their respective teams' opening day starters earlier in the year, and they get things going here in July in the second half. Scoreless through two innings, and the Brewers broke through in the third. A leadoff double from Garrett Mitchell. He stayed put on a really nice play by second baseman Edward Julian. And then it was Jackson Churio beginning what would be a big day for him.
So the batter, Jackson Churio, swing ground ball towards first. That's a fair ball out of the reach of Santana. In to right, and around third comes Mitchell. He'll score. Throw cut off, RBI single, Jackson Churio.
Josh Maurer on the call here on WTMJ. Churio quietly been really good over the last month or so, nearly hitting 300. The 20-year-old got things going 1-0 Brewers. Then the offense went rather quiet from there against Pablo Lopez. Left a man stranded in the fourth, left a man stranded in scoring position in the seventh, but could not get going against him. Meanwhile, Freddie Peralta was rolling. He went 6 shutout innings. He struck out 8, only walked 2. This despite having 82 pitches through 4 innings. He turned in, arguably, one of his best starts of the year. He was in line for the win, handed things over to Brian Hudson in the 7th. He gets a man stranded in the 7th, comes back for the 8th with it still only 1-0 Brewers, allowed a double to Willie Castro. He was lifted for Elvis Peguero. Then an infield fielder's choice with the infield in, I should say. Castro got in ahead of the tag. All of a sudden, this game was tied 1-1. The Brewers trying to keep it 1-1 in the bottom of the 9th inning with Yoel Piamps on.
2-2, swing and a miss. Got him with a slider down and away. And he strikes out Austin Martin. And Yoel Piamps gets this game to extra innings.
Lane Grindle on the call. And that's where the highlights really began tonight. In the 10th inning, it was the closers. Both Yoan Duran for the Twins and Trevor McGill for the Brewers. Both of them threw a 0, leaving the place runner stranded. So the stress moves to the 11th inning. The Brewers had the place runner as Sal Frelick. Blake Perkins led off the frame with a hustle infield. That's the 12th inning. Getting ahead of myself here. It was Joey Ortiz as the place runner. Got some great base running with Bryce Terang at the plate.
2-1 pitch. Ground ball towards second. Fielded there by Martin. Throwing to the plate. Slide. Not in time on the tag. Ortiz got around Jeffers, and he is safe. Brewers score in the 11th, and they take a 2-1 lead.
But as we know, in extras, you got to be able to add on, not just the placed runner. Christian Yelich was the batter. He tends to have a moment.
Left-hander set, 0-1 pitch. Where's the bunt? Drags the bunt up the first baseline. He's going to get the run home. Fielded by Okert. Great play, Okert. Glove hand flip as he's falling. Gets the out on Yelich. But a squeeze bunt works. And the Brewers get Terang home, the second run of the 11th. They lead it 3-1.
That was huge because down to their final strike, the Twins were in the bottom of the 11th inning. Carlos Santana hits a game-tying two-run home run to force this game to a 12th inning. You're thinking, oh my goodness, really? Well, the Brewers had their long man in with Jacob Junis. Okert returned for the top of the 12th inning. This is where Sal Frelick was the place runner. Perkins beats out an infield single. Bowers up to the plate. He lays down a bunt. This was where the chaos with the misplay and Okert fielded a ball that was totally going foul. The Brewers load the bases, and then the merry-go-round began.
Stamont brings home the pitch. And a high fly ball out to center. Buxton going back, still going back onto the edge of the warning track. He makes the catch. Tagging at third is Frelick. He will score. On to third goes Perkins. It is a 4-3 Brewers lead on a sack fly off the bat of Joey Ortiz. Bowers stays put at first. The Brewers have him on the corners for Jackson Churio.
All right, Lane Grindle on the call. So, all right, you've got the place runner home. What else can you do for me? Here's Churio again.
And the pitch. Liner into right center field. That's going to get down for a base hit. Perkins will score. First to third goes Bowers. Another hit for the rookie Jackson Churio. And it's a 5-3 Brewers lead.
He had a three-hit night, did Jackson Churio. Now back to the top of the order. In command of the count, 3-1, Terang at the plate.
3-1 pitch. And Terang, a ground ball through the right side and into right field for a base hit. Bowers is home. Churio around third. Here's the throw. It's not on line. And Churio will score. On to second on the throw goes Terang. It's 7-3 Crew.
While you're at it, bartender, go ahead and top it off with William Contreras.
Oh, there goes the runner, and it's a ground ball back up the middle into left center field for a base hit. Terang around third. He will score. It is an RBI single for Contreras, and it's 8-3 Milwaukee here in Minneapolis.
And then finally, just put the cherry on top of the sundae in the bottom of the 12th.
And the first pitch to him is lined out towards left. Coming over is Churio. Diving catch, and this ball game is in the books. Jackson Churio, full extension, calls it in, and the Brewers take down the Twins 8-4 in 12 innings here tonight in a thriller in game one of this two-game series.
What a night. Brewers win. Try to get the two-game sweep and win 3 out of 4 from the Twins in the border battle tomorrow. Let's preview that coming up next. Got some good news around the out-of-town scoreboard. The Brewers win 8-4 on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, real quick here as we wrap up the program. 12:05 first pitch tomorrow. We're on the air at 11 with Brewers warm-up as the Crew will go for the quick two-game sweep. If you're one of those folks who likes to sync up your television, well, it's a streaming game tomorrow. It's on Roku streaming service. Good news is it's free. The other good news is that the Cardinals split a doubleheader and the Cubs lost and the Reds lost as well. So the Brewers lead remains 5 games here in the Central over the Cardinals as they remain in first place. They improved to 56-42. Back tomorrow, my thanks to our producer, Nate Rilling. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.